Well, today is Friday, April 27th. Think of this, it's Friday, huh?
Oh, I am so glad it is Friday.
What a terrible week.
When are we going to beat that joke to death? I think we might have already. Today is going to be hardware, one story about software, robots and AI, and of course, everybody's favorite nonsense.
Hardware. The big story this week in hardware is, of course, that the AMD 2000 series CPUs are out. We've got a ton of videos on that. You should check it out because we did a lot of videos. We did and are doing a lot of work on those. And there are a lot of benchmarks all over the internet. Oh, God, I don't have any change.
Yeah, you need to feed the hype jar.
Pound of flesh, then.
Going to have to write an IOU in here or something. We'll use that as a temporary thing. But we also have some other interesting news. The NVIDIA GPP, NVIDIA has been really weird about this. There's this GeForce Partner Program that apparently, on the surface, looks like it's really bad for consumers in that NVIDIA is trying to appropriate gaming brands like ROG from Asus, to say that that's an NVIDIA exclusive. We can't have gaming products that are based on AMD GPUs, or, you know, conceivably other brands, in the Republic of Gamers, because that's exclusive. And so NVIDIA's not really talking about it.
They made that statement where it was like, we consider this we're going to say, we're going to move on from this. And it's like, well,
which means we don't want to answer any more questions.
Doesn't really give you the license to just simply ignore all of the criticisms of it, but they're acting like that.
Seems a bit arrogant. And there's also been some reports about some misinformation or disinformation, maybe even, coming out of NVIDIA, but you know, it's all rumor and speculation, and we don't know. But AMD, to cut to the heart of it, AMD wants to hear from GPU resellers and partners that feel like they've been bullied by NVIDIA. And so this is the first, like when we said it's like a prosecutor should investigate this, we shouldn't, you know, bozos on the internet should not talk about this. This is a great first step by AMD, because AMD could actually file a complaint with some evidence, and then we can get discovery. And that'll be exciting to see what's happened. That enters antitrust territory. This is how it's supposed to work.
I was hoping it would be like black and white photos of the people, and it's like, I was bullied.
Well, they did this
they
video.
They did do a video.
The video is very artsy. And the word choice, they are freedom and freedom of choice, the words freedom, the word choice, they are really, really, really hammering that.
There's your black and white photos, Krista. It's like...
Look.
Oh, and like... quick multicultural cuts.
Yeah.
You gotta have that.
Of each person, and they look directly at the camera because they're like, me too.
I like how it's like, you know, selection without choice. They're not wrong. I mean, this video, and the other exciting thing is that this video has obviously been in the works for a while. So this must have been something on AMD's radar. Probably the memo was like, dear AMD, by the way, you're at, you know, for our gaming brands, you're out. And it's like, huh, that's weird. We're getting the same memos at the same time from all of the people that we work with for making GPUs.
We should do a spoof of this.
Vega was not that bad. Vega was actually pretty decent.
Yeah. But they're definitely... they've seen an opportunity here. You can't really blame them. I mean, when NVIDIA's going to do something that underhanded, to just turn around and rub their face in it, you have to.
Well, yeah, exactly. And we can just... we can just sit back as the consumers and laugh until something horrible happens to us.
Or then, cry.
Yeah.
Because you can't buy these cards anyway because they're horribly overpriced right now.
Yeah, never forget. So there's also a blog post to go along with that at gaming.radeon.
A gamer's choice.
That's the title of the article, if you didn't see it in bright red.
It's red or green. Those are your options. Blue is working on something, but it's not for you. So... yeah, and we've got, you know, confirmation. The new AMD brand is Ares, so it's
is that Ares?
I thought Ares.
Yeah, it should
like
be
God of War.
It is, because they've got Ares with the S. It's the play on Ares. So, but it is Ares. It's not Ares.
I thought you actually okay. Never mind.
Because they've got the other Ares. They've got like Ares and Poseidon, and those are like some ROG things, and so. It's funny because they've used Ares on the other thing. They're going to use the Z instead of the S because of the...
hey, if it's the letter of the law, right? If it's different, it's different.
That's exactly right. So I really also like Strix. Strix was not included in that. So we get the Ares Strix whatever. So, yeah.
That makes me think, like, if you saw that out of the store, it's like, oh, look, they had a typo.
I really think they should have gone with the Democratic People's Republic of Gamers. That would have been funnier.
Yeah, but what if, because now they're going to play nice, and what if they're, you know, not the joke anymore?
It's like, why do they have such similar names?
Valuable members of the international community.
Also, in the news this week that flew under the radar a little bit because of the 2000 series desktop releases, AMD has boosted Raven Ridge's performance and smoothness with an Agiza 1002A update. So these are the Radeon plus Vega CPUs that came out a couple of weeks ago. The Agiza update, you definitely need that. The laptop owners, I think, figured this out a little quicker because you've got the CPU and the GPU on one piece of silicon, and right now the CPU is prioritized. So a lot of games will just run the CPU as fast as possible, and the hardware gives priority to the CPU, but you'd actually have a better gaming experience if the CPU was kneecapped a little bit and the GPU got a little bit more priority. And so this is something that AMD is tweaking a little bit. They don't really provide good tools for the user to do that yet. And so this Agiza gives the GPU a little bit more headroom at the expense of the CPU a little bit in gaming type scenarios. And I think this is going to be something that we're going to see AMD work on to squeeze out even more performance from those devices that use these hybrid solutions. So it's exciting. There's new technology and developments, and we're figuring stuff out. The stuff that we're not figuring out is the Windows 10 Creators Update, because they were supposed to be out already, but they delayed it because of a quote-unquote higher incidence of blue screens.
Higher than usual?
Must be. That's a probably ridiculous amount for them to do this.
This is your reminder that Microsoft fired all their testers and that the users of Windows 10 are the testers. So
they also mentioned they changed the name. It's funny because they went from Redstone 4, which is, you know, like the ridiculous code word, to Spring 2018 Windows Creator Update. That's the new name.
A little more semantic, but less creative.
Not as exciting.
That doesn't make me think of a cool Minecraft build. That just makes me think of a boring update.
It would be nice if it were a boring update that was not going to brick my computer, but chances, like, the way that this usually goes is when stuff like this happens, Microsoft will do like a 70% fix. And so when it finally does roll out, the instant, like, it's just going to be Harry Carey. Like, there's just, our forums are going to be filled with people that are like, oh my God, the blue screen's destroyed my computer. It's really terrible. And Microsoft's position will have been, well, aren't you glad we didn't release it in its previous state? So it's going to be a mess. Well, let's switch gears to bionic vests.
Robots. They actually do call these wearable robots. But I'm not sure where the line is.
There's no motor. I refuse to call it a robot. There's no motor. It's only springs.
But it's cool as hell.
It is cool. It gives you 15 pounds more lifting power above your head. And I think it also allows you to lock your arms in place when you're going to work overhead.
Neat.
Ford was the one who, I think, commissioned this. And it is actually very... It looks like you can just rest your arms up while you're doing stuff, which... Imagine, like, painting is... I mean, I guess they're not painting, but for me... Like painting, you know, up above yourself, or that's cool. Yeah,
imagine if Leonardo had this.
Oh, I know. He would have never got his sweet gains, though. And as we know...
You're saying that he got swole? Is that how you say
that?
Yeah,
you get swole.
It was the Swolestein Chapel.
That's like a level of punnery that's...
So, yeah, three Ford plants, they're going to get those. And they also talk about how... I don't think it was an American company, and they showcased that they tested this on a variety of people so that all body types can enjoy it. So they're low-key just saying, yeah, the fat Americans even can use these.
Or the super tall Americans, one or the other.
How much was one of these? Did the article say? I missed that.
I don't think you can buy them. I think you got to, you know, it's like a partnership type thing.
I want to try one out. Do they need a video? Do they, like,
send us one of these suits?
Yeah.
We should just walk around downtown with one of those on.
I knew a guy growing up that had built it wasn't an exoskeleton, but he built sort of a suit for himself that was like part drywall stilt, but also like spring loaded. And he could run down the street and stuff in these things. And I mean, it was probably running at like 30, 35 miles an hour. And he's just running on springs. And it was like clamped to his legs. And it was just amazing.
This was in Eastern Kentucky?
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds...
Well, the South African guy that killed his girlfriend? Those blades. A lot of people argued that he should not be able to use those because they were a distinct advantage. Because they were like spring-loaded. They made him faster.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. This guy drywalled for a living, and he's like, I've made my own exoskeleton to make drywalling easier. So he had there was a backpack that he wore, too, that had, like, this thing that come up to hold the drywall in place while he was, you know, screwing it in or whatever.
Inspector Gadget of drywall.
There's a lot of talented people in poor places.
Inspector Drywall.
Inspector Drywall.
That's a trademark. We're going to do a superhero, Inspector Drywall. Don't steal it.
He's going to be in Infinity War.
I would like, I mean... I don't think Thanatos stands a chance against that guy, really. I mean, he just, with his drywall hammer, could hit his hand and knock the Infinity Stones loose.
Well, it could be like Spider-Man, where he sprays drywall to stop you while he attacks.
Maybe we've seen early access to this movie, and we know that Drywall Man is going to be
Inspector Drywall, not Drywall Man. How dare you?
I don't know the Marvel heroes.
I don't know if he could resist the temptation of the Infinity Stones, though. Like, he might become the world's greatest drywaller. I don't know if he could resist that temptation. Anyway, autonomous boats.
Another great segue from level one.
Yeah, autonomous boats will be on the market sooner than self-driving cars. It was the headline that surprised no one.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to drive around in the ocean where there's no traffic.
And no road. Well, I mean, there might be traffic, but there's no roads. You don't have to worry about, you know, road. I guess you have to worry about water conditions, like if it's choppy, but.
Yeah, they talk about the Italian cruise ship that hit a rock.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things they're trying to work on is, like, we shouldn't be hitting rocks with cruise ships in 2018 or whenever that happened, 2017. So these autonomous boats would be better at that kind of thing.
So you're saying that I could probably program this myself in an afternoon with an Arduino. It's like some collision avoidance software, some collision avoidance sensors, and some GPS. Maybe a couple of GPS units for redundancy.
I think when you start factoring weather into it, it's going to be a little more complicated than that.
So
weather.
Chop, waves.
Not to mention Somali pirates.
Oh, yeah, pirates.
Yeah.
Wow. You think that the first AI that takes lethal force against a human being will be a Somali pirates type situation?
I think the public would probably kind of be okay with that. So, yeah, maybe.
Hope there are no Somali pirates in our audience.
As it turns out, our channel has the highest percentage of Somali pirates.
You think they've built a lot of PCs?
I mean, with those stolen shipping containers, it's probably one of the highest value per...
They might be crypto mining, actually.
Yeah, I mean, well, electricity might be a problem, but they could probably get solar cells, but they'd probably have to steal the solar cells.
I'd watch that movie. Anyway.
They're just trying to make a better life for the village. It's fine.
Do you like IKEA? I bet Somali pirates do. Would you like someone else to assemble your IKEA furniture?
These look like standard issue industrial robots that are just putting the furniture together.
That's pretty much what they are.
They have a camera system and two generic arms, and they've cheated a little bit in this demonstration. The system knows what parts it has to deal with ahead of time. So you couldn't throw an unexpected IKEA couch or something at it.
If you wanted to buy something, you know, spur of the moment, but
I think IKEA, you know, they recycle the pieces.
Do.
So as long as it's the same pieces in this chair, it actually spends 8 minutes inspecting the pieces before it ever touches anything to, like, figure out how it's going to put it together and what all the pieces are.
The exact dimensions.
Then it spends 10 minutes actually assembling it, and it turns out it takes the average human about 18 minutes to do the same process.
Wow. So that's really efficient. Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
I mean, it's one of those things that's probably, like, a little bit niche right now, since you're not going to have an IKEA robot sitting around in your house, but...
No, I think that at IKEA, they probably just, you know, everything's on flat pack, so it's like, I want to buy all this stuff. You get it in flat pack, but it's like, for an extra $20, we'll put it together for you while you eat in our delicious 4-star restaurant.
Well, they talk about how...
I don't know if it's 4-star, it's good, but...
It's really good.
IKEA is not on board with this. This is somebody else. So if IKEA wanted to be a part of this, they could simply print machine instructions along with their... You know,
like a QR code or something that reads.
They're picture only instructions. And you feed that in, and all of a sudden, you know, these two arms put all the furniture together.
That would be exciting.
They would probably have to have a little more lifting power for some of the bigger furniture.
Yeah, like I had a desk that I put together, and it had a huge tabletop.
I would buy stuff from IKEA just to watch the robots put it together.
That would be a cool thing. And you could watch other people's stuff get put together too. Actually, while you're eating, there could just be a big glass wall with all the robots putting stuff together. Yeah,
I would watch that YouTube channel. Let's put a patent on that as well. that whenever that those robots come out, we will get one, and then we, instead of doing unboxings, it's
we'll
furniture
patent,
assembly.
We'll patent the IKEA furniture. They might have some problems with that.
We will be the hydraulic press channel of assembly. Yes.
That'd be cool enough.
Yeah. I would watch it.
We could, if we can get one of these robots from Apple, we could probably be the iPhone, you know, recycling channel.
I don't want to be associated with iPhones.
Why do they call her Daisy? I didn't catch why that was.
I think that's just, they had another one before this one that had a male name. I don't think it, Liam.
Why?
It's just, they just picked a name, I think.
Yeah.
Any connection, clever?
Any connection to the HAL 3000 is surely coincidental. That's what, you know, that was the HAL 9000. HAL 3000? There's a HAL 9000. HAL 9000 sang that when it was being turned off, the Daisy song.
This can take apart 200 iPhones in an hour.
We thought
and sort all the parts.
Ryan earlier was like, I think it's 18 an hour.
I was impressed by
it's
200.
It's 200. Yeah, I was impressed. You know, I was like 18. I was like, that seems like a little low, but then 200 is way better.
It just sounds good because it's like Apple can recycle and Apple's this, that, and the other. Because Apple really doesn't want you to repair your phones.
Look, yeah. Why is there a Pop-Tart ad on this page?
Because Pop-Tarts are delicious.
Because we talked about Pop-Tarts the other day.
We did. That's terrifying, weird. Isn't it? And there is, there are microphones. Although, these mics aren't going through the computer, are they?
No.
No, that's weird.
It's reading our lips.
It's probably the phone microphones. Like the one of us accidentally enabled the Google Assistant. Hey, Google. No, we're good.
That doesn't mean it's not listening.
I mean, Pop-Tart.
Somebody's going to clip that of me looking around, like listening for the beep. And it's like, there was no beep.
You know, the worst part is, it's like, damn them. I could go for some Pop-Tarts right now.
Yeah, blueberry is the best flavor.
I like the, there was, somebody posted a picture. It's a meme, but it was like, you know, it's like the little bit of joy that you get when you share a funny joke with your friends and it's like somebody laughing at something and they're sending it on an instant message and then it shows a couple of people like reading somebody's phone over the shoulder and they're laughing and then it's got Mark Zuckerberg laughing.
Oh.
As if he's capable of humor.
Does he have the laughter module installed right now? I don't know.
So AI, are you a programmer? Do you commit things to repositories and that sort of thing? Ever been paranoid that you've accidentally committed an encryption key or a password or something in your repository? Well, good news. Artificial intelligence can now scour code to find accidentally public passwords.
Well, we should say it's always done that, but it used regular expressions. So, of course, you have to come up with, it's like, how do I look for something that looks like a key, which is really just garbled. You know, text, it's numbers, upper, lower combinations. That's not really all that efficient, but they found a method that is way more efficient.
AI. So yeah, check it out. They're doing it sort of as images, because I guess that's a thing.
Yeah, visually, it looks at code, and it uses a shade. The shades might just represent a number that it uses. But code, you know, the words that you would find in code and punctuation that you'd find in code is sort of, you can see the patterns, and then it finds something that it makes no sense. It's just a garble, which would, of course, be an encryption key. And it uses a visual way to figure that out, which is cool.
It's neat.
Facebook is also using AI. It's starting its facial recognition push to Europeans. And this is like for uploaded photos, like recognizing
people. It already does this in the U.S. Like, this has been a long-standing feature.
But the change for the GDPR is what is the news item here.
Yeah, you're not allowed to just capture facial recognition because the GDPR is going to prevent that. So what they've done is they've made it an opt-in policy. But to call this an opt-in policy, it's a little weird.
The pop-up literally reads, hey, you uploaded a photo. Can we recognize your face? And it's very yes and yes.
So you can actually, with several more clicks, click over to the page with your options on it and opt out, explicitly opt out, and then continue. And I think there's even some more clicks after that. So it's a real pain in the ass to say no.
It's a dark design pattern.
Or you could just say yes. You could just let us.
It is a terrible design pattern. It's like, if you want to opt out,
you're
going to
have
to go
what they're doing.
To several different screens and then sort of go from there to try to, like, just why? Why? This is exact, like, I wonder if this is actionable under the GDPR is really what I wonder, because this is obviously intentionally designed to be horrible.
I'm sure they've had several lawyers Just going through line by line, and it's like, okay, here's what we can get away with.
Is there a term for a pack of lawyers? Like a murder of lawyers?
A murder of lawyers?
A business of lawyers?
A steaming pile of lawyers?
This is probably steaming also.
Yeah, this is a gross story.
They are known to generate a lot of heat. Look, right? At the guy, like, crying. How you can find them.
I had trouble making it through this story because I have my own horrifying experience with a bunch of cockroaches inside a computer. And when I was reading this story, I could only like the smell of the computer when I opened it, and it was like a cockroach nest inside a computer. Fortunately, I was outside, but the smell was so distinctive, and that was all I could smell while reading this story.
Ugh. And that was, you know, maybe you had a couple hundred at the most.
Yeah.
This is millions. They produce 1 billion per year. Of course, that's a very quick breeding cycle.
So it's a cockroach. I mean, it's a bug.
They probably don't have to have more than 1 million at a time to get that way. But now here's the really disgusting thing. And maybe we shouldn't be disgusted by this, because I've said this in the past. If you process that and deep fry it, I'll eat it. I don't care. If it tastes good, I'll eat cockroach. But they use it for a stomach remedy. Like, that's supposed to be.
Is it like a traditional remedy, or is it actually like scientifically backed?
Well, so this is a farm where they grow 1 billion cockroaches a year to make potions.
They call it a healing potion.
So it's a folk remedy, not like an actual.
I have no idea.
Well, they talk about cockroach milk is actually nutritious and good for you.
Milk?
Yeah.
It's not a mammal.
No, it's a crystallized protein that's milk-like.
Yeah, they smush them up. It's still a product of the corpse. But the crazy thing is, it's AI. So the AI is monitoring. Do you think it knows them? Like, can it tell them apart? Is it like, there's cockroach 587,322,000
in Jurassic Park, where they stopped being able to tell the difference between the dinosaurs and didn't realize they had more than they were supposed to.
So it monitors their growth, makes sure they're healthy, and when they reach a certain size, it smushes them down and processes their parts to be used in the healing potion.
It's kind of dark. So some experts have written into the EU to say, hey, robot rights violate human rights. So the EU is trying to get ahead of this whole robot revolution thing and saying, hey, maybe robots have rights. But some scientists and people that are concerned with this have popped up and said, no, that's not how this works.
And these people, I remember we did a story about the bomb bots, because we used to use dogs to clear minefields in Afghanistan. And they were like, no, let's not kill the dogs. Let's make a robot that does that. But the soldiers became attached to the robot similarly to how they were attached to the dogs. And they actually were less and less willing to send the robot into danger.
Seriously?
And the army didn't know what to do about it.
Yeah.
I've never heard
so
that
this
story.
Is kind of on that same. It's like, no, these are just robots. We don't have to worry about them. We can abuse them. We can enslave them. We can do whatever we want. They're just robots.
That's going to be Exhibit A in the, you know, humanity on trial to...
Yeah, the Skynet. You know,
vying for its existence, yeah.
But it does show, and we've talked about this before, AI, as amazing as it is, you know, all these stories we've talked about, AI doing all these things, we are like maybe 0.001% close to sentience and robots. Like, we're not anywhere near it.
No.
So you don't have to worry about them having feelings.
No. All the fancy pants AI stuff that we have is actually probably putting us farther away from general artificial intelligence.
Yeah, we get much more specific in artificial intelligence, which is great. That
Perform
makes them
this
more
task.
Useful.
Yeah.
And they're not sad. They're never sad.
Although a remorseless, unfeeling thinking machine is probably also not who you want managing weapons fire and such, right?
I mean,
it seems like that would be bad.
But the best we can do in terms of giving them feelings is to give them human feelings. And humans are inherently awful. So either way, we lose.
It certainly seems that way, judging by
request for proposal.
Is it a request for a proposal, or is this a granted contract?
It's already granted.
You should have proposed by February 7th. So at this point, don't know. It might be granted.
Automatic target recognition of personnel and vehicles from an unmanned aerial system using learning algorithms. So, yeah.
That's a thing that's happening.
It seems a little scary.
Well, this is exactly... Remember, the Google one that the people have demanded Google not do with the drone image recognition.
Yeah.
Now, Google claimed that was never going to be used for actual targeting. But this is actual targeting.
Yeah. Like a machine is deciding who lives and dies that
What
day.
Could possibly go wrong?
Like one minute you're eating your Pop-Tarts, and the next you've been bombed by a robot.
You think they've got a lot of Pop-Tarts in Syria?
Well, what scares me about that is that if Google is not involved in that, maybe Microsoft would be interested in that. And as far as I know, Microsoft's only real AI project was Tay, and we know how that ended.
It learned some pretty horrible behavior.
Tay was very racist, so you got to wonder, you know, was Tay racist against Middle Eastern people? I think Tay was mostly like Nazi type stuff, right?
Yeah.
It was whatever people fed her, which I think overwhelmingly
was
Nazi.
Well, listen, it's not a long flight to Israel from most of the places where we're deploying drones right now, so that could be disastrous.
Well, your next robot or your next job interview could be with one of those racist robots. So, you know, Tay is unemployed, not on Twitter anymore. Tay, probably going to be interviewing you for your next job, at least according to this article.
This is a strange idea to think. Like, it won't be all of your interview. It'll just be like your first one.
Well, the racist part mostly comes from image recognition. And we've seen that. Remember when the Xbox One, I think, it counted how many people were watching?
Yeah.
And it wasn't counting the black people because they didn't test with enough black people. And there was the...
two-thirds of a person.
There was another image recognition thing that didn't get black people right. So they're extrapolating that onto the you know, I think it goes with... we talked about before how the AI can read your micro expressions, and it's not great at doing it for certain minorities. You know, but this... Sort of the other side of this coin, this is the ACLU Racial Justice Program. There was a story I read this week about Target. Did you see the Target racism thing?
Mm-mm. What'd they do?
Somebody sued Target claiming that background checks that revealed criminal history, as long as that criminal history didn't directly relate to what job you were doing for Target, was racist. Because certain minorities were more likely to have a criminal history.
Isn't that like a Schrodinger thing, though, where it's like you don't know if the criminal history is relevant until you know what the criminal history is?
I mean, isn't all criminal history relevant? Anyway, they won. Target lost the case and had to settle.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. I think it's fair to check and see if you've been in any sort of crime-related thing. But apparently that's not the case, so... I wonder if some of this might just be a little overreaction in that same vein.
That ruling's going to open Pandora's box for a lot of different things.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. I'm sure. Yay, technology. It's not. It's totally not dystopian. Although, there are going to be those people that game the algorithm. Like, there are, you know, I've worked with companies who, like, their internal dev team have metrics like this many lines of code checked in per day or, you know, whatever the metric is. Microsoft has a lot of those kind of performance things. And a lot of that's done by... you know, pseudo AI things. And those people have figured out how to play that game magnificently.
Well, I'm going to give a pro, maybe not a pro criminal tip, but a pro, I don't know what to call it.
Dubious ethics tip?
Not even that. But you remember for a while before everybody figured out that everybody figured it out, you would get one of those automated call center things and you could hit the zero, go right to the operator and get a human being, right?
Mm.
So I think, you remember the AI, the stickers that fool the AI, just pop one of those on your forehead. And when you're talking to one of these bots, it's just going to freak them out. They're not going to know what to do. And you're going to get to a human being for your job interview.
Or could you do the, what's the thing they do on Twitch where they have like the face rigging and you're a cat? Would that give you higher importance on the hiring ladder?
I was just thinking about like answering the interview questions. It's like, you know, so why are you looking for a job at ABC Corporation? It's like, well, this statement is a lie. And then like the AI just bursts into flames and you get a human being that you can talk to.
Oh, like a contradiction or something? Yeah,
but then you've attacked an AI, and with the AI Bill of Rights, you might have committed a crime.
Only in EU.
It might not have been assault, but it probably would be destruction of property.
Hmm.
So the IRS website, speaking of destruction of property, the IRS website has suffered a partial outage on tax day. So yeah, our tax, we had a major tax deadline here in America, and the deadline was pushed back a few days because the website, like, everybody waited to the last day, and the website just fell over.
As most people do. I waited till like a week or two before to turn in my taxes.
You could not file or pay your taxes on tax day. And we just include that because, wow.
Gosh darn it. That darn technology.
That's something else, isn't it?
All that tax money and no money to make sure the website stays up.
I wonder what it costs to deploy all the fix. You know, it's like, we got to get this up right now. How many of our tax dollars did they burn through fixing the broken tax site?
Oh, that'd be a good freedom of information request. Pasta is good for you, say scientists who were funded by Big Pasta.
This isn't a tech story at all, but we wanted to include it.
It is. Well, we've talked about this kind of thing where the more of a science story than a tech story, but the scientific papers and the studies are getting to be completely co-opted. You can't trust any of it anymore.
This is like the bacon stories. Like, the whole reason we eat bacon now is because of this exact kind of marketing.
Well, I think it's worse than the bacon thing, because this, the bacon thing, I guess it was sort of masquerading as science, but it wasn't a scientific paper. It was just written in like an opinion piece, but it was written by a doctor. But this is supposed to be science. This is supposed to be a scientific study proving that pasta is good for you.
I got the quote for you. It says, Jenkins told BuzzFeed that Barilla, that's a pasta company, contributed about $456,000 to his research between 2004 and 2015, as well as travel funding. They also donated about 15,000 boxes of pasta to an ongoing clinical trial of theirs.
I mean, honestly, I don't care what they say. Pasta's delicious, and I'm going to pretend it's good for me.
It is delicious. It's just not that great for you.
It's fine.
So the bottom line here, the asterisk is, yes, actually, pasta in moderation, they found, can be good for you in what's called the Mediterranean diet. But that is not how we eat here in America.
No. Yeah, it's not, you know, vegetables and like a little light oil dressing. It's like,
you know what's not?
10 gallons of sauce and meat. And
what's not on the Mediterranean diet? Overstuffed Chef Boyardee ravioli.
That's good. I eat other kinds of pasta, but I do like the Chef Boyardee. I'm a giant kid.
It's overstuffed with heart disease.
But it's so good. I don't buy Chef Boyardee. I buy the off-brand.
Oh, I'm sure that makes it totally okay.
Oh, yeah. It makes it way healthier.
Overstuffed with heart disease and liver failure.
But you know, Barilla is selling pasta to both Chef Boyardee and...
No. Yeah. No. They only do the healthy stuff to Meyer.
Switching gears a little bit. Technology and religion. It's always something tricky to touch, but Ghana has asked mosques to turn down the noise and use WhatsApp or some other similar technology when they're calling their constituents, their members.
I think this is kind of an odd... I mean, like, I understand why someone wouldn't want to be woken up at 5 a.m., but also, like, what if someone doesn't have a phone?
Well, that's kind of the argument. Well,
especially in Ghana.
It's both ridiculous to assume that it's okay to wake everybody up at 5 a.m. because of what you believe.
Yeah.
But it's also ridiculous to think that switching to an app is going to satisfy what the loudspeaker is doing. And this is two groups with completely ridiculous arguments.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
What you're saying is you just can't use an app for that. It's just impossible.
Well, you could, but they're not going to.
I don't know enough about the history of Islam to say, like, too, like, what did they do before they did the call to prayer? Did they just, like, ring a bell or something? Like, wouldn't
probably
that be easier?
Yeah. It's just very common.
Become personally responsible and then take your prayer time on yourself.
No, you have to go to the mosque at 5
a.m. Yeah, but couldn't you go yourself? Like, set your own alarm?
I don't think the mosque, because, you know, there's a business model here that relies on.
Well, maybe we could tone down the insanity around exorcisms with an app, because that's also happening.
Was it an app, or was it just like you get connected to a priest via cell phone?
But you use an app.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
so strange.
Well, he's going to read the Latin over the phone, and that's going to dispel the demons. And the demand for this is actually up. you know, well, exorcism yeah, I saw is that a it booming
was
business.
I was shocked by that. And they also talked about they have like exorcism deputies. And you're not allowed to do the exorcism on your own, but you can go with the priest and sort of feed your energy into him so that his exorcism is more powerful. And it's shocking that I wonder if you have a bad connection, does that let's like
is does it make the power less strong?
Can the demon
survive
discern?
Well, certainly during my Ryzen 2000 desktop testing, I was definitely yelling "The power of Christ compels you" a lot.
Is it good or bad?
Auxiliary exorcist, that's what they're called.
That's how bizarre.
What a sweet business card that would be. I'm an auxiliary exorcist.
Web developer and exorcist.
Cardinal and Ernest. I don't, like, I want to be respectful of this, but also it seems like the app, it just doesn't, like, how would you, an app where someone reads Latin through the app?
Well, but this is something that's a little weird that's specific to Catholicism.
We're giving credence to the fact that there are demons in people anyway. I mean, come on. But hey,
it's a range of topics, including witchcraft.
If it makes you feel better, you know, there's that whole argument, like, buying lottery tickets, of course, anybody with any idea of mathematics knows that buying lottery tickets, it's basically a tax on stupid people. But if it makes them feel good for a little while for a dollar, is it such a bad thing?
I'd like somebody to put on YouTube the class. One of the classes for these, the people involved in the exorcism, is the title was How to Tell the Difference Between a Demonic Possession and Mental Illness. That needs to be on YouTube. I want to watch that.
They do really tiptoe around. It's like, okay, now, we only exercise when they've already been to a doctor, and we've established it's not a tumor. You know, because we could be sued for that. This is not something pressing on their brainstem. This is really a demon. And that is, I would also be very interested in finding out where the line is there.
The demon is cancer. Where's James Randi? We need James Randi. Remote detonator. That was the Wi-Fi name that prompted an evacuation at Planet Fitness.
I was trying to get in there and working on my fitness. Be my witness. like the Fergie song. And then you just, you know, familiar. you get kicked out of the gym because of this guy.
Well, not just you. They evacuated the entire building.
Yeah.
There was an airplane recently, right? Somebody had a Wi-Fi hotspot on the airplane. They turned the plane around.
That guy can't catch a break.
So, yeah.
It's the same guy.
If you're feeling particularly clever with your Wi-Fi name,
remember people are stupid.
Yeah, don't make it terror-related.
You might have an involuntary exorcism at the local police precinct.
Well, what if you set your Wi-Fi name to, you know, it's like some sort of demon name? What would be a good demon name? Tell us in the comments.
Singer and YouTube star Poppy has been sued for copying identity.
Speaking of candidates for an exorcism, never see her videos.
I don't think she's that weird.
We've watched one of her videos that made the news, I think.
I think we watched it on
We just podcast. Chose one at random to show you. They're all like that. They're all messed up. Yeah.
Neat. So, yeah, the videos really didn't seem that similar to me, but maybe I'm not really clued in on
I didn't think they were that similar, other than the fact that both girls were blonde and they both sang in a similar tone of voice. Yeah. I think the other girl doesn't seem like she's trying to go for the whole, like, weird, dead-eyed look.
I think Poppy just does it much better. Poppy's prettier. Let's go ahead and admit what the real issue is. She's younger, she's prettier, and she's better at the weird stuff, I think. But this other girl did it first, and she's suing. I don't think there's much of a case there.
I don't think that they're that similar.
Do you have to copyright just being weird?
The only similarity is, like, they sing kind of similar, and they have blonde hair.
Well, I think the whole, like, freak show art part of it is really what the... Because you can't copyright singing. You can't copyright being blonde.
Well,
Can you copyright that shtick?
I don't think so.
Could Britney Spears sue Christina Aguilera in the 90s? I mean,
there's been a lot of pop star skanks. What about when Katy Perry shaved her head? That's like some weird stuff that Britney started, right?
Yeah. Well, that was, and then it was Miley. They always kind of go through that where they have like a breakdown and then they come back.
Did that start with Sinead O'Connor?
Well, she wasn't really pop, was she? I guess she kind of was.
And then, yeah, there was Britney Spears, and then it was...
She wasn't a teen
Cyrus,
idol.
Cyrus, Miley Cyrus, and then it was...
I think Britney's got a strong case if this girl wins one against Poppy.
She just starts suing all of the other pop stars.
Well, the ones that shave their head, at least.
So our next story is amazing. What would you expect if you filed a Freedom of Information Request Act on Antifa? And what was the original request? I'm trying to find it.
Oh, well, it was about the Antifa versus neo-Nazis. Because
recent happenings with that.
Yeah, every time they have one or the other has a march or rally or something, the other side shows up and there's always violence. So this guy, he was a journalist and he just wanted to get information about that.
And so the included in the material that was released with the Freedom of Information request was documents on psychoelectric weapons. So this has been reported in a lot of places. This seems really crazy, like literal insanity.
Like healing crystals and salt lamp crazy.
Yeah. Mental illness crazy.
And yet, as you can see, very well documented.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's got diagrams and everything in this PDF.
Yeah, so psychoelectric weapon effects on two groups that... or have been used as a distraction in the media? What could the relationship possibly be?
Well, you have to wonder, does the government consider there's some connection between these two things, or was it a total fluke? Now, the guy did find out who was the author of some of these documents, tracked him down. It turned out it was an NSA guy, John St. Clair, called him up, and John St. Clair said, "I don't discuss this over the phone," and hung up on it, which just makes it more juicy.
Well, because you know that he doesn't want to be conditioned like this and get all these health... What are some of the health effects? Can we see that very closely? Can we zoom in on some of
it? It's nothing good.
Yeah, it's behavior manipulation. Like, this is like...
There's a diagram that has a body. Let's see what each individual symptom.
It's hard to zoom in and read, even if you click through on it. But because this is from 1947 or 74.
74.
So this is like a mimeographed copy of this thing or something. But it shows how the towers can be used. This, you know, I've definitely read about this kind of thing. You ever see the guys on YouTube where, I don't know if it's popular anymore, but they would take nuts and bolts and stuff and then put it in a bowl or something and epoxy it, and it creates this thing that you put in your house to stop the cell towers from controlling your mind, and you think, man, that's as wacky as it gets. And then you see something like this,
and it's like, man, that was minor league. We're in the major leagues now. This is ultimately like the tinfoil hat, like
literally stopping the electrical waves from getting inside your brain. That is the tinfoil hat. Yeah.
This is the guy who started. Also, I like that this article is in Popular Mechanics.
Yeah. Yeah, this web article is literally this was the...
Well, Muckrock is the one who broke it.
Yeah.
That's the source.
This was the least incredible website that... Not credible. Whatever. Incredible?
Credible.
This is the most credible site that ran it. Yeah. We all went to college. You can't tell.
No. Could be that now that we know about this, it's in our heads where we can't come up with words.
Well, they're sending the waves.
They're sending the helicopters right now.
This is literally the thing I'm talking about. God, I wish I could remember the name of it, but the guys who make the little tokens, that like the black helicopters, they claim that once you create one of these little things, I forget what they call them. I think they call them holy hand grenades from Monty Python.
A totem.
But once you create one of these and it's in your home, the government knows because the electrical fields are disrupted, and that's when you start seeing the black helicopters. Like, this is textbook conspiracy theory stuff.
I kind of want to make one now and see what happens.
Oh, we should look that up. I got to figure. Oh, man.
We have enough screws, and we can get some epoxy.
Yeah, we got all the things we could ever want.
We could
sell them on the level one store.
We literally have a walk-in Faraday cage here. That's not even, like, we could just go in there and hide out. It's totally fine.
Store.level1text.com.
Tell us in the... Free? No, it's not going to be free. Tell us in the comments how much you'd be willing to pay for your Level 1 Text branded...
Foil-lined wallet?
Well, no, it's going to be the...
No, it's the thing, the totem.
Blocking...
the epoxy-filled...
Yeah.
Epoxy-filled block of...
And they're handcrafted by our artisans at the Level 1 Text Studios.
We could put something cool that it's like maybe you send us a personal thing that you want us to put in
a
yours.
A personal charm
yeah.
to ward away the evil helicopters.
Level one has reached a new low. And with that, we will be wrapping the program this week. Thank you for joining. Please subscribe and hit the bell and do all the YouTube engagement stuff.
Do you guys hear the helicopter?
We have to go.
We have to go. Bye.